Well, it matters on. Amen. Because somebody came in here today stuck between a rock and a hard place. Want me?
Thank the Lord.
But somebody stuck today. You don't have to raise your hand because the Holy Spirit has already released it. So that you could understand that maybe today is a day of deliverance for you, that you don't have to be stuck between that rock and that hard place anymore. Isn't this amazing? There's been a battle going on. I was trying to figure out what is wrong, and now I know that somebody is about to be delivered in the house of God in Jesus' name. Somebody is about to get a breakthrough. Some door is going to open. The rock is going to be lifted and thrown away. In the hot place, we will be melted down on the ground. Somebody will get a breakthrough this morning. I don't know who it is, but I am confident today to be able to preach. You go ahead and get your breakthrough. You're in the right place at the right time. Stop wearing yourself to death. Stop waiting on somebody else to do for you that they can't even do for themselves. Why? Because God is saying today, I'm going to release that thing. Release that thing. It's amazing how we understand that the enemy owns the atmosphere, isn't that right? So you can get all in speaker wires and get all in the atmosphere. You think you're hearing one thing and he's saying another thing, trying to mess you up. But that's when you understand, you should understand, you should be mature enough in the faith to realize, oh, there's a battle going on. The enemy don't want somebody to hear the word of God this morning. And I don't know what God is going to say this morning. I'm just trusting that as he will speak through me so that somebody can get the breakthrough that they've been waiting on. I believe we have some folks in here don't even know they're in a hard place because they've been there so long. They think that where they are is their home. But God has said he didn't bring you this far to leave you alone. He didn't bring you this far to leave you in the darkness. He said you too need to come out of that dark place. The dark place. You got to know where you are first before you can understand why you need to come out. We find Jesus is saying to the disciples that I am the vine and you are the branches. And he's letting us know that we being the branches cannot exist if we don't stay with the vine. And I don't know why good old church folks believe that they can get a little bit of religion and think a little bit will last them for a lifetime. But I keep coming back every Sunday morning because I recognize that I have to come back every weekend, drink at the fountain. Why? Because life makes me thirsty. I don't care how much I drink today, by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm empty all over again. So I'm addicted to this drink that I can only find in the house of God. Jesus is saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. You ever tried to do something without God? Lord, you got tangled up. You fell in a deep hole. Your friends turned around and left. Some of us, our spouses even left for a while. Some of them left for good. Oh my gracious, we lost money trying to get back. And some of us haven't gotten back yet to where we used to be. Why? Because we try to do things without God. But the vine is saying to the branch, now you can't bear fruit unless you stay with me. I don't know about you, but I know a whole lot of preachers trying to get to heaven without Jesus. They stand up preaching every Sunday, but living all kinds of lives. But I'm telling you, one of these days they're going to discover that the main thing they should have done was to hang close with Jesus no matter where he took them. Just allow God to carry you and everything will be alright. Yeah. This word is a peculiar word, because it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Uh-huh. When we try to do life without God, we are that withered branch. And it says, and they gather them, those withered branches, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. I don't think everybody heard it. Because I'm not even sure I heard it right. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. He didn't say what you need. Because see, you can need, and you have needs, and then you have desires. The words mean the same thing, but when I hear desire, I think that means I'm asking for a few extra things. That's what it sounds like to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I need a whole lot, whether I desire it or not. I need some things in order to do a work. But my desires are the wonderful, warm things that my heart needs. The extras in life. And it says, what you desire, it shall be done for you. But we have to go back to the beginning of the sentence. If you abide in me, that means you're not falling away. You're not falling off the tree, trying to find your own place. You're in there. You're abiding in there. And then it says, my words abide in you. See, that's the problem right there. Because we say we love the Lord, but if his words are not abiding in you, how can you love him? You say you love the Lord, but the words in you are not reflecting Jesus Christ. And many of us will say that, oh yeah, I go to church. But what does your neighbor hear? What is coming out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth is actually who you really for. And they tell me, you know that slip, Pastor. It made me so mad that just slip. Now, one thing for sure, it can't slip out of where it wasn't. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Nothing can come out unless it's already created. It's already there. So whatever comes out, whatever the quality of the what came out, is a reflection of what was already in. So if by chance you are challenged and the word of God comes out of your lips, that means that the word of God was already inside. So normally when it slipped out, good came out. Because the word is good. If by chance that the enemy's word is in your heart and you get in a crisis and the word of the enemy comes out, it won't be because somebody put it on your lips, but it had to have been already on the inside, and the stress of the time brought it out. So how can we ask the desires of our heart concerning what we would like to have? Because Jesus said, well, first of all, you have to abide in me. And then second, my word has to abide in you. So for me to say, I love the Lord, and Jesus, you know, I'm your best friend. I'm one of your friends. I'm here. I'm paying my tithes, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, the speech goes long and long and long. It gets long. I'm working all over church. I'm doing all these things. But yet, if the word of God is not abiding on the inside, Jesus is saying this word, don't even ask. Don't even ask. He's saying it today. The only way your desires will be met is according to you, whether or not you abide in Christ and His Word is abiding in you. So, He is listening to the one who is abiding in Him and has the Word of God filled up in you. And that should change. That should cause some tension on the inside, because it's causing us to reflect on some areas in our lives when we were praying for the desires of our heart and we're quick to say, but God didn't answer. And Reverend Gallo said, oh, He answered. He answered. Sometimes without a word, there is still an answer. And He just said, according to what's in me, He answered. Isn't that amazing? And He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus has already shown us that if you do as He did with His Father, Jesus was obedient to God no matter what He went through. Even when the work became tough, when He looked as if He was losing everything, when He was surrounded by His enemies, when He was looking at His last days, He said, not my will, but thine will be done. Jesus was remembering that I have a Father up in glory and He's expecting me to do the right thing. Yeah. Even though my physical body may be trying to tell me, you know, you can resolve this. You can call on the angels. But Jesus decided to be obedient every now and then during your walk. Every now and then you're tempted to do some things different. You're tempted to go with some folks and you know you don't have no business there. You're tempted to do some things that don't make any sense. But in the midst of the temptation, we got to know who we serve. We got to look up the glory and begin to pray and ask the Lord to do a work in us. We got to get in the book of the Father and begin to read the Word of God. Why? Because if you have the Word in you, it will dictate what the next move is. I don't know about you today, but if you're in the midst of that rock and that hard place, all you have to do is remember who God says He is. He says, I am the I am. He said He is your Savior, your healer. He calls Himself a good shepherd. He's everything. He is life itself. And just knowing who He is indicates what He can do. Why? Because if He is the Creator, if He can create the world, I believe He can create a healing just for your circumstances. If He is the Creator of the universe, I believe He can create the right job on the right place just for you. I believe if He is the Creator and He made all living things, I believe He remembered that He made you. See, we got to know who He is. Then we can keep that Word in us. If we would look at the Word of God this morning, it ought to be stirring up your soul to know that He loved us so much that He wouldn't leave Adam alone. He wouldn't leave Adam alone, but the Bible says that in the cool of the day, He stepped down from heaven and went to the garden and asked, Adam, where are you? If He could ask Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam? Then has He asked you, where are you? Some folks would say, well, God didn't know where Adam was. But I'm here today to tell you, He knows where all of us are. He sees us in our light. He sees us in the darkness. He just asked the question so that Adam could reveal, God, I'm here. Have you heard the Lord ask you lately, where are you? Do you realize you're in the bed with somebody else? Do you realize you're stealing from your neighbor? Do you realize that you're cursing in the darkness? God asked you, where are you, to help you realize, oh Lord, I'm here. And when Adam responded, yeah, Lord, then Adam saw himself naked. Saw himself naked. When Adam realized he was between a rock and a hard place, He began to blame that woman. If this woman had that child, you know this woman you gave me, Lord. If it had not been for that woman, I don't believe I would have eaten of that fruit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that all the time. I have members that tell me, well, I could do a better job at so and so if you go ahead and take so and so off the board. Yeah, you didn't give me the right person to work by my side. And I'm just looking at them. Yeah, we could have sung that song if they stopped letting so-and-so sing it. Well, I could have come to church, but you know, don't nobody want to pick me up. Well, I could pay this and pay that, but you know how my circumstances is. Always giving an excuse for what we can't do. And we have all of heaven on our side. We got an army of angels fighting warfare every day for our souls. And we got an excuse. And God is asking us, still asking the question, where are you? Do you know where you are? Do you recognize that you're between a rock and a hard place? Do you recognize that if you stay there too long, you'll become a rock and a hard place? Do you recognize that your family is waiting to talk to you? Do you recognize that there are people down the road ready to be blessed? Do you recognize that I put you on assignment a long time ago and you just want to come off? God is asking the question, where are you? Where are you? Don't come to me and tell me where your baby is. God wants to know where you are. Why? Because he's looking at the whole world. He already knows where your enemy is. And he's waiting to destroy your enemy. If you can ever figure out where you are between that rock and hard place. My. Now, you backed up against a rock that the God you claim you serve created a rock that you backed up against. Now, if he made the rock, whenever you turn around to the rock and the word of God on the inside of you, talk to the rock, and you connected with the Creator. Because Jesus said, I am the vine, we are the branches, and his Father is the vine dresser. So if God is the vine dresser, that means that God created a rock that's standing in your way. Well, I just believe that the Creator can move the rock any time he wants to. I just believe that there's no rock so hard that the Creator can't do anything about it. I believe that the rock will hear the voice of God and just back on out of the way. I believe that there's some rocks that's making you get up and stop being in your way if you go ahead and call on the name of God. The rocks are going to speak out today. The rock is saying today, and I don't want to be in your way anymore. I'm tired of hearing you cry all the time. She stopped talking to God. Because I believe I want to go somewhere else further down the road. I believe that even the rocks gonna cry. Lord, will she ever get it right? Will she ever acknowledge who you are and call on your name? Somebody today. Your rock crying out. Now you know it's sad. Anytime your rock wanna get off the job. You know it's sad. Anytime your rock is tired of holding you back, you know life must be hard on the rock every now and then. The rock sees you in church every Sunday, and you still leaving out of church the same way you came in. I believe the rock is saying today, if you ever go to church and get our life right, just give it all to Jesus, then the rock will say, we can go on about our business and hold up somebody else. But then there's the hard place. See, it's one thing to talk to the rock, and the rock understands the Creator of movement. If they can just find a person that got his word on the inside. And then there's a hard place. The hard place is where your co-workers, your so-called friends, your enemies, work all day long trying to hold you back. They can't do their work because they're looking at you. They can't do their duties because they're writing notes on you. They can't get their deliverance because they believe when they free you up, they're going to be freed up. They don't understand that as soon as they free you up, they're going to have to be in prison themselves. They haven't looked at that yet. They haven't known the fact that you're a person of God. And the only reason that place is doing as well as it is because God is not going to let you be in a place that's not blessed. So many of the blessings that people experience at work is because God's people are placed on those jobs. And God is saying, I'm going to dwell where my people dwell. I'm going to be in the midst of them. But when that cloud moves, when the cloud moves, when God moves you, He's going to move with you. You ever been on a job and everything was fine, but people woke up every day trying to make it hard on you? But one day God delivered you. And when you stepped outside that job, you done gone over here to another place. And all happens for the next 2 or 3 years. Every time you see somebody from another place, girl, how in the world you know it's time to leave? That place turned terrible after you left. And all you can say is that the cloud went with me. That cloud of mercy, that cloud of blessing went with me. That's the kind of God that I serve. Yes, Lord. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of y'all have been held up on your job because God is waiting to hear the people surrender themselves to Him. But His patience is getting thin. And He's going to release you one day. And Lord have mercy on who's left. When the cloud leaves that camp, Lord have mercy. They think they got it bad now, but you wait. The devil just waiting on God's cloud to lift up and leave. Because it's going to take over that camp as soon as you leave. And the same people that took notes on you, that lied on you, that despised you, will wish a thousand times that you were still there. The same folks. This hard place, the more you took, people act like you haven't done anything. This hard place, you see your job requirements and they keep adding on and adding on. This hard place, every time you think you're finished, they just bring it on more, but yet you see other people not doing hardly anything in this hard place. This hard place where you can barely eat your lunch for the few minutes that you have, and then you see people coming back from lunch a whole hour, 2 hours late, smiling. This is that hard place when you look at your check and you know it's not right. And then when they go to human resources, they tell the man to tell you it's right. That's a hard place. It's a hard place. But all you have to do, look up for the cloud. Go out the building every now and then, just look up in the sky. If you can just see one cloud, then that should be a remembrance for you to say, God, I see you. I see you, God. Because see, you don't have to be big. You can be a little cloud. It's the power that comes out the cloud that I need right now. See, some of us are confronted at work and we think that we have to turn into the devil to deal with devils. But I'm telling you, Jesus dealt with demons and He never changed. So that's an indication to us that we have what it takes. All we got to do is use what God has given us. All we got to do is use the name of Jesus and take on His character and remember His word in every circumstance. So I don't know about you, but I made up my mind that I can't do anything without Him. So therefore, if anything will happen for me, I got to do it God's way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a way out of no way. Thank you, Lord, that you have told me us. You have taught us. You have modeled before us what to do in hard times and when our back is against the rocks. Thank you, Lord, that we see that not only can we have it good today, but it's going to be even better tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, that I can feel your presence no matter where I go. Thank you, Lord, that there's a bathroom somewhere. I always say I need more religion in the bathroom at work. You ever go in the bathroom, just lock the door? And they say you stayed in the bathroom too long. But they didn't know that while you were in the bathroom, you were praying, God have mercy. Lord, I'm going to just swing this thing a few times. But God, instead of me doing that, will you give me a song in my heart and give me something in my feet that when I walk out of this bathroom, I'll be able to bless my neighbor. I don't know about you, but if you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, you can do nothing without God. So if you want to move from the rock, if you want to jump over the hard place, why don't you get right with God? Why don't you give God your all and all? Give him your heart and he'll show up. Just surrender all to Jesus and he's going to fight your battle. I don't know what you came for today. Lord, have mercy. I don't know if you came for a miracle. I don't know what you came for, but you're in the right place at the right time. I wouldn't leave this house without getting what I need from God. Lord, I'm the branch. I'm in here with the vine. And the branch don't want to leave out with me. You ought to be the kind of branch I need to bear fruit. I need to bear fruit. If I don't hurry to bear fruit, they're going to come around and they're going to snatch me. And put me in the fire. But if I bear fruit, then they tell me they're going to help me to grow even greater fruit. And how does that happen? The word says that the Lord prunes the branches. And when he prunes the branches, then the branch is able to bear more fruit. Uh-huh. But we don't like to be pruned. Uh-huh. That's right. Lord, have mercy. Uh-huh. We don't want to be pruned. No. We don't want God to cut. No. Why? Because cutting hurts. But if cutting will save your soul, you need to stand in line and say, Lord, prune me. If cutting is going to help you get somewhere with God so your answers, your prayers can be answered, you ought to be standing first in the line. You ought to say, I need to be pruned. I need to be pruned of my wicked ways. I need to be pruned of my impatience. I need to be pruned of whatever stands in the way between me and God. Holy Ghost, prune us today. Take the evil out of our hearts and our minds. Holy Ghost, prune this place. Walk around with your holy shears and cut the children of God. Cut out sin. Cut out sorrow. Whatever keeps us from worshiping you, God, prune us. Anybody want to be pruned? Anybody want to be pruned? Anybody want to do a greater work for God? Anybody want to bear more fruit for God? You ought to stand up and say, God, prune me. Prune us, Lord. our sins,
yes,
known and unknown.
Yes,
prune us, Lord. Things we drank, things we smoked.
Yes.
Prune us, Lord, of habits that were not great.
Yes.
Prune us, Lord, not speaking to our neighbor.
Yes.
Prune us, Lord, of racism, Lord. All kind of isms, Lord. It's not of the will, God. Prune us today, Lord, because we want to be satisfied, God. We want you satisfied with us. And Lord, after you prune us,